I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. Today is Saturday, June 11th. A major and ongoing story in the news lately has been a baby formula shortage in the United States. It's left many parents scrambling to find enough to feed their children, and it could still be several more weeks before there's significant relief. The shortage started after a critical manufacturing plant shut down and some products were recalled. That Abbott Nutrition plant in Michigan reopened last week, but the company warns it could still take nearly 2 more months before much of the formula is back on store shelves. To help explain how any of this could happen, what parents should do and not do about it, and what the data shows for the decades-old debate about breastfeeding versus formula, we spoke with economist, New York Times bestselling author and mother, Emily Oster. Time magazine recently named her one of its 100 most influential people of the year, citing her data-driven and popular advice about parenting and pregnancy in her books Expecting Better, Crib Sheet, and The Family Firm. And now she's sharing the latest data-driven information with us, too. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Dr. Emily Oster, thank you for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you so much for having me.
On top of the pandemic era supply chain issues, we saw one formula manufacturer have some issues with a recall and then a facility shutting down. So can you help explain how one company can have such a profound impact on the formula available for families?
The central issue is that industry for formula is concentrated in two ways. So one is that there are a very small number of manufacturers of formula who are making FDA-approved formula, and that's partly because the regulations that the FDA puts up are appropriately very stringent. The other issue is that even those manufacturers don't actually manufacture in very many facilities. So when that one plant shut down and you're thinking, well, it's just one plant, that was actually making about 75% of all of the specialty formula in the US. And a lot of what we're seeing in the shortage, the most significant shortages, are in specialty formulas that are consumed by babies who need particular nutrient mixes.
And let's be clear, I mean, at least typically, formula is the only viable substitute for breast milk, right?
Yes. And I think that's something that's very, very important for people to understand here and can be a little challenging sometimes for non-parents because it feels like, well, you know, what's the big deal? You know, why don't you just substitute? You know, if they don't have the brand of milk you want, you just buy a different brand of milk. But in fact, in this case, there is no substitute for formula for infants. This is the food that infants are consuming if they're not consuming breast milk. And so it is for many parents extremely scary to think that the one food that your baby can consume may not be possible to access. And it's just really terrifying.
And obviously, babies need to eat. So what is the backup plan for parents right now if they can't find the formula they need? And are those backup plans safe according to available data?
If your baby is consuming sort of typical non-specialty formula, the most obvious backup plan is a different brand formula than you are typically consuming. And that will be fine, certainly for the interim. for parents who need these specialty formulas, unfortunately, the challenges are more significant. At this point, the administration has plans to reopen the Abbott plant and has plans to import formula from Europe. And so the hope is that those things will start to resolve. But in the interim, I think the best advice people are getting is call your pediatrician, who hopefully will have the resources to find formula to cover until some of these shortages get a little bit less significant in the next few weeks.
And I know you say parents should not try to make their own formula. Why is that?
The nutrients and vitamins that are contained in formula are very specific, and they are not something that you're likely to be able to replicate in your own home. In addition, there is way more risk of contamination from other kinds of, from the ingredients, and that could make your kid quite sick. So it's really not recommended to try to make your own formula, even though there are recipes on the internet. That is not a good backup plan.
If families can't find formula, and a mother has not been breastfeeding, is it even possible to start and try to breastfeed weeks or months later?
It is not, or certainly not typically. So it is possible in some cases to what's called relactate, but it is extremely long, time-consuming process that often involves medications. In general, if you are not breastfeeding, you cannot just start breastfeeding even if you have a baby. And it's just not a very comprehensive understanding of the way that biology works.
And let's be clear that, you know, a lot of families use formula. The CDC has said that most mothers, I think at least 75% in the U.S., use formula within 6 months of their baby being born. So how big of a deal is this when so many parents rely on formula? And what factors contribute to so many families looking to use formula?
You're exactly right. It's about 75% of babies will use formula at some point in the first year. And there are a lot of different reasons that happens. So some parents choose to breastfeed for a short period and then move to formula. Some aren't able to breastfeed at all. Some use formula to supplement, although continue breastfeeding for long periods. And there are a lot of different reasons for this. Part of what has been, for me, very frustrating about this discussion is that it has brought up a lot of, you know, breastfeeding shaming, which we see in general, but we've seen, I think, more of in the last few weeks, people saying, well, effectively, why don't you just breastfeed? Or, you know, this wouldn't have happened if you just breastfed. And that really is, I think, actually quite cruel. And also is almost none of our business in the sense that people choose not to breastfeed or choose to breastfeed for short periods of time for a bunch of different reasons. And right now, our focus should really be on how we can provide formula to the set of people who need it to feed their babies. And by the way, the shortage of formula is felt disproportionately on lower income families who are both less likely to breastfeed and more likely to be accessing formula through the WIC program, which until a couple of weeks ago had actually quite strict restrictions on which formulations of formula you could purchase with your WIC benefits. And that made the shortage even more extreme for that group. The good news for people who are still very anxious about this for good reason is that the administration is now taking this quite seriously and making a lot of moves in the direction of lowering this shortage. And that will itself already make it better because some of what is going on is that people are stockpiling. Once it becomes clear that the shortage is going to get better, we should see less stockpiling, which will help this resolve more quickly.
Still ahead, is breastfeeding really healthier for a baby compared to formula? Emily Oster tells us what the data shows. Plus, her number one tip for parents who may feel overwhelmed by all the advice they're getting from all sides about how to raise their kids. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. I'm excited to watch my one-year-old son continue to explore and understand the world around him this summer. And I love how KiwiCo helps us both in that process. If you're not familiar, KiwiCo delivers super cool hands-on science, art, and geography projects right to your door every month. And they do all the legwork for you, providing projects that help turn your kids' curiosity into creativity with no extra work on your part. Your kids will explore new worlds and rediscover familiar ones even without leaving home. Or take your KiwiCo crate on the go while you're traveling to keep your children busy and challenged anywhere. And there's a KiwiCo crate for all ages, from infants to teens. When our baby was just an infant, it came with toys perfect for his stage of development. And as he's getting older, he'll be getting new types of science, technology, engineering, art, and math projects, all in a seriously fun, hands-on way. So make summer more awesome with KiwiCo. Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code NEWSWORTHY at KiwiCo.com. Again, get 30% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com, promo code NEWSWORTHY. The Newsworthy is also sponsored by Pampers. Instead of just getting my perspective on this week's sponsor, you're getting to hear from my husband, Dan, who is also a very important partner in this whole parenting thing. We split up the diaper duties pretty well, I think. Dan, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Whoever's on duty gets...
parenting duty.
Yeah, that's right.
Something I love about you is that you don't accept just okay when we're talking about stuff that we use on a daily basis. We are all about trial and error and doing the research to get the best product possible because it pays off in the end. So I am really happy with using Pampers Cruisers 360 Fit diapers now. What about you?
We've gone through what hasn't worked and we found what has. The pull-up style is perfect for Dax right now. So as soon as you got him cleaned up, you stand him up, you step him into the diaper, and you know, he can be standing up in his happy little self. That really works for us. The tearaway sides, I think, are a really great design.
With these diapers, there's no gap in the back. It's comfortable, it's stretchy, it's soft, and it's hypoallergenic. So buy in-store and download the Pampers Club app today to start earning rewards with every diapers and wipes purchase. Okay, now back to my conversation with Dr. Emily Oster. And I know this is a topic you dig into for one of your books. So what does the evidence say about breastfeeding versus using formula?
So the evidence shows that there are some relatively small short-term benefits to breastfeeding, lower risk of gastrointestinal illness, perhaps some impacts on eczema in the first 6 months to a year of life. But what the evidence doesn't show is convincing evidence of the many long-term benefits that are claimed. Things like breastfeeding will make your kid smarter or less likely to be obese or healthier in a bunch of different ways. That is just simply not supported in the best data. And so the kind of overall picture of breastfeeding that you get is quite different in terms of the size of the benefits than is often claimed in the popular rhetoric.
I know you've said with all the data that you dig into that something being linked does not necessarily mean it's caused by. So, for example, you've talked about how breastfeeding has been linked to lower risk of obesity later in life, but that doesn't necessarily mean that breastfeeding caused that. Can you explain a little bit about that concept?
Absolutely. So in the case of obesity and breastfeeding, it's true that obesity rates are higher in children who are breastfed less. But correlation does not necessarily imply causation. And in this case, if we wanted to make a causal link there, we would want to be making statements like, if an otherwise identical person chose to breastfeed, their child would be less likely to be obese. The reality is, given how we do these analyses in the data, a lot of what is happening, in fact, probably all of what is driving those correlations in the data, are other differences across families. So the fact that women who choose to breastfeed tend to be higher educated, they tend to have access to other resources, they tend to themselves be thinner. Those are all very likely what is driving lower rates of obesity, not the breastfeeding itself.
Overall, parents are bombarded with so much advice, so much data, experts telling them exactly how they should or shouldn't be doing everything from sleep training to introducing solid foods to more. I can speak from experience recently of feeling overwhelmed with all of it sometimes. So how do you recommend that parents in general navigate all of this when at the end of the day, we just want to do what's best for our children?
One thing is to just recognize that a lot of these choices, a lot of the choices you're going to be asked to make as a parent are really going to come down to what works for you as a family. There are right ways to do it for you, but those may not be the same as the right way for others. And I think recognizing that, trying to internalize that, can often make your parenting life just a little bit simpler.
You do a great job, by the way, of really breaking down the data in your books for parents. So I do recommend those. In your opinion, though, what more could be done to support parents in this country as we face all of these decisions?
One of the first things that we could start to do to support new parents is to provide people an everyone, not just people with resources, but everyone access to home nurse visits in the first few weeks after birth. I think that is a time in which people are getting set up into the way that they're going to parent. It is also a time when people are exhausted. They don't know what they're doing. It is very overwhelming. Most other countries have some kind of consistent home nurse visiting program. The US does not. That is something that I think that we could introduce that would make a huge difference for a lot of people.
All right, we want to thank Dr. Emily Oster for sharing her expert insights today. Be sure to subscribe to her newsletter on Substack, follow her on social media, and check out her books. Of course, we'll be here to bring you the latest on the formula shortage and other important news to know during our daily 10-minute news roundups Monday through Friday. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.